And like I said, we do have a speaker this evening, and it falls on me to introduce them. So it's hard to know what to say about this individual. They wandered into our meetings probably a decade or ago or so ago in the bad old days of Skype. And watching them go through that battle over the last few years, over those early years, and keep coming back, just never give up, was inspiring and reminds me on a regular basis why we keep coming back and why we do what we do in these meetings. It's an absolute privilege to see someone come through all of that and find their way into recovery and be celebrating multiple years on a regular basis. And they just actually celebrated a clean time birthday this week. I'll let them share with you about that should they choose to. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Christine, who's going to share her experience, strength and hope, journey two into and to Narcotics Anonymous, 40, 45 minutes. So Christine, the floor is yours. Please share with us, sweetheart. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. I'm Christine. I'm an addict.
Hello,
Hello,
Christine.
Christine.
Oh,
Christine. Woo-hoo.
hello, my dear family of choice. And I mean that. And this is my home group. I have been coming here for at least a decade. I came here struggling to stay clean. When I first came here, I'm glad you mentioned that, Steve, because I wasn't 100% certain if I was going to be sharing tonight because there was a possibility that another speaker had been booked. And I certainly would not put my name forward to speak. I'll explain some of that. But I knew it was a possibility. So when I was out for my daily dog walk in conscious contact, because that's when I find it easiest to do that, I asked my higher power to help me to carry a message. I mean, I got clean in 1990 and stayed clean for 13 years, and I relapsed. And it took me 15 years, I think I worked out, to be able to get out. And I was always a I was all the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. And by that criteria, I never stopped being a member of Narcotics Anonymous because I definitely had the desire to stop using. And I could stop using. Probably in those 15 years, I would be clean for at least 14 of them if you added it all together, but I couldn't string together the consecutive time. It got harder and harder to string that time together because, in the same way that in recovery, staying clean through a difficult time gives me strength for the next difficult time that comes up. In relapse, not staying clean when faced with life on life's terms, giving into my disease, giving into the desire to use, I had that lesson. So in the same way as getting through a hard time strengthens us to go on for the next hard time that comes up in recovery, in relapse, the same thing was happening. Giving in weakened the possibility of me getting through. It lessened the possibility of me getting through the next blow. When life, happened, and it became more and more difficult to string together time. At first, when I first came back to Scotland, I was going to the other fellowship. There were at that time 3 weekly, was it 3 or 2? Yes, I think 2 weekly meetings of any that I could physically get to. At that time. I wasn't hearing the message that I wasn't hearing a message that I they didn't demonstrate something that I wanted. I've shared before that a lot of them got involved in the Alpha Project. I don't know, it's a church-based thing. I don't know too much about it, but what I do know, I knew for certain I didn't want it. And a lot of them were influenced by that. So, as you can imagine, those of you who know me relatively well, that wasn't for me. I hadn't yet discovered the online meetings that were then available, much less than we have now, but there were a few available. I'd gone to the UK one. But something about it didn't feel quite right, didn't feel authentic. So, I started going back to the other fellowship, which I had attended in my very early days out of treatment. I stayed sober for 2 years when I first got back to Scotland. I didn't drink for 2 years, but I did. I wasn't clean, I was messing about with my prescription medication quite a lot. And so I picked up just after I had told them after I had acknowledged 2 years without alcohol. Alcohol was one of the drugs that I was highly addicted to. It was the first, well, it wasn't. Valium was the I had Valium before I ever had alcohol, apart from maybe sips of my dad's beer when I was a child or something. But before I chose to drink alcohol for myself and get drunk, because I was prescribed them at a very early age, because I'm 69 and they did that in those days. They gave benzos to children. And because I was quite a disturbed child. And then I went again to, to a meeting of on the UKNA, the UKNA online meetings. And yeah, I met a woman there, and for the life of me, I've never been able to remember her name. I've met a few people since that I thought were her, and I've asked them, and it wasn't them. So, I don't know what happened to her. I thought her name was Rachel, but the Rachels that have come here have not been her. But anyway, she mentioned the Highlands and Islands group. And so I came here. And at that time, obviously, Steve was here, Jay was here, having found Highlands and Islands groups, I don't know, not that long, not more than a year prior. And he told me about the Australian meetings. The any at home meetings. So between those two meetings, I was hearing the message that I needed to hear. Now, I spoke a little bit about it during the week, but my life on life's terms at that time were very, very difficult. I was still on cancer treatment. And it was tablets that they wanted me to take for 5 years. I'd already taken them for a year prior to my surgery. I'd had the radiotherapy, and I was on these estrogen blockers because my cancer, breast cancer, was completely, I was 100, it was 100% estrogen related. And so they had to, although I was of an age where I didn't have as much estrogen as I used to, they wanted to get rid of every drop in my body. And as a woman, the menopause had been very difficult for me because I had always had high levels of estrogen, and suddenly it dropped very low. And you know, the I love Chinese medicine. I can't get it at the moment, but I love Chinese medicine. And they taught the whole Chinese philosophy, the Taoist sort of tradition. They talk about qi, you know, as the life force. And my life force m must have been strongly connected to my estrogen because it just felt like my life force had left me. I felt really bad. During this time, I was picking up mainly alcohol because it was easy to get, but I managed to get myself involved with drug dealers quite early on. I had them living in this flat because I had terrible trouble with my neighbours, and I wanted the protection of these drug dealers living here. So, of course, I was using with them. But before that, you know, I had gone through the cancer thing, and my father was. He wasn't supportive. He wasn't loving during that time. He was actually very, he locked me out of the house, my own house, one day, and wouldn't give me the keys. And I, you know, my dad was really abusive to me, and I had nowhere to go. And I got on a train and went 50 miles away, you know, because I know nobody here. And, you know, so when I came here, I was in a pretty bad way. I was still struggling with the fact that I'd lost my 13 years clean, and I'd lost my whole life. I'd had my home repossessed. That was going to happen whether or not I picked up, because it was to do with the crash, and I think it was 2008 or 2009. It was to do with that. You know, my interest rates went through the roof. So I, the life on life terms that I was dealing with zero support, I couldn't stay clean, you know. It was probably the worst time of my entire life. So when I first came here, I was full of crap. I'm sure Jay would tell you that. I was argumentative. I wanted to do service when I had no clean time, and I'd get a bit of clean time, take on a service position, relapse, make, you know, let the meetings down, and the slack would have to be picked up by somebody, usually Jay, because he was the one that was in meetings on, I, you know, both sides of the globe that I went to. And you know, I was a pain in the butt, and I know that, but I was fighting for my life. I really was. And there was no support outside, and I needed to cling on to these online groups that I'd found with all of my strength, because I really was fighting for my life. Every time I used, I don't know how many times I OD'd during those years. Found, woke up in hospital probably half a dozen times. I got myself a criminal record for the first time. And, you know, but eventually my dad went into a care home. My life got a hell of a lot simpler and a hell of a lot easier. It did mean I wasn't going to get a couple of hundred grand that was coming my way. So that was a blow, and I had to accept that because that money might have killed me for all I know. But it was difficult because he dangled that over me. And it was real. I knew I had his will, and I had power of attorney in the end, you know. I knew exactly what his financial situation was, but the care home here cost 6.5 grand a month. You know, it wasn't long before it went. But anyway, I had to accept that. And once I'd accepted that, and he went into the care home, and my dad, when he got dementia, a lot of people turn real nasty with dementia. It was the opposite. See, there was always two dads in my life. There was always good dad and bad dad, even though they were in the same human body. Good dad was incredibly good looking. All my friends fancied him. Very funny, highly witty and intelligent. You know, very talented, beautiful tenor voice. You know, he the good dad had integrity, and the outside world saw good dad, but the other dad, bad dad, was abusive, controlling, manipulative. I'm not going to diagnose him. Because I can't, I wonder if I could remember the words I was looking for. I know it applies to my half sister as well. But anyway, you know, I hadn't realized at all. But I left school one day. I was fortunate enough that my parents were keen, or my dad was keen on me getting the education he'd never had. And I left school when I was 17, having got enough qualifications to get me into university. But I left school one day and I left home the next. I wanted the education too. I loved school. It was my escape. It was where I could achieve and get affirmation and praise and the stuff I didn't get at home. So I left home with a fistful of A levels, of highers they're called in Scotland, and a head and a gut totally devoid of any sense of self-worth, any self-worth whatsoever. Well, that's not true. I always had self-worth around my intellectual abilities and my ability to work hard and do a good job and to achieve. But in terms of worth of me as a human being, I had absolutely none. You know, I've spoken a lot about my dad and that relationship, and that gives, you know, during those years I mean, my mum had died. My mum died 7 years ago, on past the 4th of August this month, and she never saw me real. She saw me clean, and I was clean through her death, and I settled her affairs and did everything that had to be done. My half sister, who was the her daughter, the elder one, organized the funeral. And it was a horrible funeral. It was an embarrassing funeral. It was a mean and unloving funeral. And you know, that was the only bit I didn't. I went. You know, I emptied her house and did all the work that the world didn't get to see. You know, you can hear the resentment in me. It's still there. It's a lifelong. It's work, to try and reconcile all that stuff with my family. But really, in those years when I first came back to Scotland before my dad went into the care home, he was my higher power. I didn't realise how bad it was until he went into the care home. But when he got dementia, he didn't turn into an awful person. Bad dad went away. And we were just left with good dad, and he was the life and soul of the care home for a long time. And that made life so much easier. And I didn't have responsibility for him because I'd been his carer for years. And I haven't used since then. And I was 6 years clean on Thursday. And Steve and I were talking last night, and I really want to celebrate in 8 years' time, if I live long enough to get there, when I'm 14 years clean. So I've passed my original milestone. And by that time, he'll be, I'm holding you to this, Steve, he'll be 40 years clean a day at a time, God's willing, and we're going to have a party. We're going to have a joint party. That's what we said last night. Well, we said loads of other crazy things as well. So it may have been a fantasy, just like all the other stuff we were, what we'd do if we'd won the lottery, etc. Kind of stuff. And so it may have been another one of those, but if I'm around and you're around, I'm going to hold you to that one. Anyway, I've been clean since then. And I refused to do any service till I hit a year clean this time, which was a good move. I decided not to sponsor until I'd been through all of the steps. I'll come back to that because I'd let a handful of sponsees down when I went back out again. And one of them has never come back to any in this in the all of the mess that ensued after that. So she's on my amends list. They're all on my amends list. Although I haven't managed to make any of those amends yet. So, I've been, and those of you who came to Hignagh a bit later on might find it more difficult. Ellie was there. Joanne was there. I think, and maybe Barbara was in and out, etc., in those days. But there are people who remember what a nightmare I was in the beginning. Because, those first 13 years, I wouldn't have got to 30 because I'm a very sick addict. This disease is in every fibre of my body, mind, and spirit, And some of you might not be able to imagine me like that. Probably you can, because little bits pop out here and there. But when I, since I've been clean this time round, I'll go back again. What I was saying, I never got to 13 years clean by not working the program because I'm too sick for that. I wasn't white knuckling it or doing it half and half. I would say that my relapse started about 10 years clean when I made a huge life decision on self-will. And I realised pretty soon after that that it was a mistake. And I kept making multiple bad decisions, one after the other, on top of that. That's why I knew I was going to lose my home, whether or not I picked up, But I worked the steps. I'd been through the steps several times in those days. Thankfully, the step working guide wasn't a big deal at that time. It was, that wasn't expected of me. So I did the steps in various ways. However, my sponsors had done it. That would, and I had several sponsors. I've shared about it before, so I'm not going to waste time. But two of my sponsors left the fellowship. And, one of them went out again, one of them hasn't. But both of them let go of all their sponsees. So, there was reasons why I had quite a few sponsors. But anyway, I worked the steps. I went to meetings. I did service. I had a sponsor. I had sponsees. I did a lot of service. I like doing service. And back in those days, it wasn't a case of will you do service? Not for me anyway. My first sponsor got me a tea commitment in a huge meeting. It was actually the other fellowship because I'd been told in treatment that I needed to go to both, and I hadn't figured out that really any was my home, and I didn't need another fellowship. Yet. But she told me there was a tea commitment coming up, and that I was it. Well, there was a huge meeting, so there was two of us. There might have been more, but there'd be a good six or eight people who turned up before the meeting started, and I was on the tee. But there would be people setting out chairs, all newcomers like me, setting out chairs, getting the room ready for the meeting. And so I did that commitment. It brought me out of myself. It got me communicating because I'd more or less lost the ability. Sometimes I'd go so long without speaking to anybody that I'd actually believe I'd lost the power of speech, in my, in my using. But it got me opening up just enough. It got me feeling useful. Got me feeling human. It gave me that, this is a worthwhile job. And it got me to know people a lot better because I'd say, how are you? What would you like to drink? And they'd tell me a little bit about how they were, because that's how we are in NA. You ask and out there in the world, you say how are you? You lie. And but in NA, some people were more forthcoming. So I found that I could remember what they told me the next bef the week before, and I was able to say maybe, how is your daughter now or something like that, and it that made me feel like it showed me that actually I do care, because I've remembered, it showed me, it got me back into life a little bit. And every sponsor I had set me into service. And I'm so grateful because I learned so much about. I remembered I had a brain. I remembered I used to be really organized in those days when I had estrogen. And, I did a lot of service. I enjoyed it. I did that. For at least, I did that, and I worked a decent program. Probably the first 10 years, but it was after, once I made that big decision to move home, change my whole life, move to the place that wasn't right for me, and that I couldn't cope with the travel. It was a nightmare from start to finish. I don't particularly want to relive it now, so I'll leave that bit there. But gradually things started to drift. I'd done a lot of. I wasn't. I was crap at shoplifting, so I didn't do that. But I did buy all my Christmas presents from the shoplifters. My God, I can't believe the time. I did buy all my Christmas presents from the shoplifters back in those days. But in recovery, I decided I wasn't going to do that. But all my mates did. And eventually I thought, well, why not? So, and the shoplifters were shoplifting to feed their habits, as usual. And so I started doing little things like that, and I think that was the beginning of me stopping practicing these principles in all my affairs. And I went back out again. As we know, I've only got about 5 minutes left to wrap this up. Now, I cannot believe how quick that time has gone. So what I'm trying to say is, I know when someone is in recovery for a lot of years and does those kinds of things, they have to be working some kind of program, but you have to work that program every day. And mine started slipping, and it slipped more and more. And, I went back out again. And right away, I was back in treatment. I took out a, well, I went into one of the private treatment centres, and I paid for it on credit card. I got a reasonable deal because I had a mate that worked for them. And, I had to be dried out right away. So, from the first time, I took a drink of alcohol on holiday, but I had to come back from that week's holiday straight into detox. That's how my using was. And it was like that during those whole 15 years of relapse. It was always, and towards the end, I knew I was powerless. I had no, these, I used to hear it a lot in the other fellowship, no defense against the first one. And that was, and for me, I need step two to have that defense against the first one, either because that emptiness without drugs is so, I can't even, I couldn't even contemplate it. So, after my dad went into the care home, I was able to concentrate more on myself and my own life. And I managed to get a grip on step two. I needed step one and step two to get back and stay back. And I've managed to do that now. I do all the stuff that I did before. I work the steps. These days, I've got a slightly different attitude. I've written through them once with a sponsor, and I did do it through that step working guide, because that's how she'd done it. But I, if I do writing through the steps again, it won't be that way. I'm not saying I won't do it, but what I'm how I'm practicing my program now is living the steps, living the principle, the spiritual, living, trying to adopt the spiritual principles in my life. Living the steps to the best of my ability on a daily basis. And sometimes I do that better than others. When I broke my leg last year and I ended up in hospital, I really worked my program. I really did. And I could see it, because I find it so difficult still to believe that I'm achieving anything. So, how to wrap this up in a very short space of time. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. I can't judge somebody else's desire. No one could judge mine when I came back. It's very different now. Let me just get a sip of tea, cold tea. It's very different now. I'm almost twice the age, almost exactly twice the age I was when I came in the first time. My life is very, very different. My choices that I have are very different. The challenges that I have are very different. But how I deal with them is exactly the same. I have to work the steps in my life. I have to live by the lessons that I've learned while working through those steps. And I still get some benefit from my previous recovery. I get some things a little bit more easily this time than I did the first time because I remember stuff from the last time. And Highlands and Islands is my home group. I wouldn't be alive without this group. I really wouldn't. That is, when I say Highlands and Islands group kept me alive until I was able to stay clean, that is the absolute truth. That is a fact for me. So I love all of you people here. You all contribute to my recovery, my being clean. And I've got this such a feeling of warmth and peace and love. Hey, peace and love, man. When I think about you guys, I've met one person in this room, but that doesn't matter. You're as real to me as anyone ever has been. And I really love you guys. And I know I'm loved in this group. What I get here is what I didn't get in my own family. My parents loved me, but they didn't know how to be loving because no one had ever been loving to them. They weren't parented in that way, and they didn't parent me in that way. So I love you guys. Thank you for listening to me. I hope somebody's heard something. But if you haven't, then there'll be another speaker next week. Listen to them, and maybe then you'll hear what you need to hear. But I didn't think I was going to manage to speak for 45 minutes, and I've done it, and I could speak for longer, but I won't. So thank you for asking me, Steve. Thank you for what I get. Thank you for Higna. You didn't know what you were creating when you started these groups. You started this Higna, but you've saved at least one life, and that's mine. And you guys do that on a daily basis. So I'll shut up now. Thank you.